Last week we talked a little bit. We wanted to start, and we're still kind of following the series of who we are in Christ. And in Christ, we know that we're secure, but we're starting to focus on that we are significant. And this is not we're significant in ourselves, our own power, our own majesty. It's we are significant because what Christ has done in us. And do we fully understand that? And last week we saw that in Christ, we are created in the image of God. Amen? Amen. Next of all, that in Christ that we are saved. Hallelujah? Amen. Okay? And now we see that from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, when it talks about that we are saved by faith through, or saved by grace through faith. In verse 10 then, it says that we, and let's see if we have this up here. Alright, there we are. Good job, Esther. We are a workmanship. And just there, we are a work of God, a piece of work. Okay? A lot of times we use that in some kind of derogatory way. You're a piece of work, you know. But this is what it says, that you're a piece of work of God. And you're created to do good works. And God has prepared these works for you. Marry her, you know, all your focus on her, you get married and something happens. Well, what happened to the passion? What happened to the love? Where did it all go? Now it's business. Gotta, you know, take care of making the money, and then you got kids you gotta take care of, your house, your car, all these objects, things, and we lose the focus, the passion for Jesus and loving Him. Okay? So that's what we talked about last week a little bit, of that we're created as a piece of work of God, a workmanship of God to do good works, one of those good works which is to be salt. We tried to go on, and so let's do one more. We went too far, Esther. You've got to go back up. Back up. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to... a light. Today, we're talking about being a light. Let's read this together, and you can look at your neighbor right now. You are the light of the world. Okay. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Okay? Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, shine your light before men, that they may see your good deeds, and praise your Father in heaven. When you get a power surge and the lights go out, what do you do? Okay, oh, thanks, Ruth. Okay, maybe check the power breaker. Is it a problem here? But then you get the whole family together and they light a candle. They get around it, or if you got flashlights, you know, batteries, you stick that in. Why do you light that candle? Huh? It gives light, but, you know, what's the problem? You can't see. All right, why can't you see? It's dark. So we get into, well, what's the purpose of light? To see in the dark. Shine in the dark. And what does that help us to do then when we get that light going in the dark? Helps us to see. But what is the real meaning or purpose behind that scene? Understanding. We begin to understand the things around us. Oh, there's a table. Oh, okay, in the dark, you don't see it, you don't understand it. Oh, candles, okay. But in the light, you begin to understand. And in the biblical context, this is what it's talking about. When the light comes, it helps us understand life and eternal life. What's the source of that? Jesus. The light in the Bible talks about us helping us to understand the purpose, the focus, the source of that light, which is Jesus. So, A good verse we got in John chapter 1. I don't know if I put this up here.
Oh, I did. Great.
John 1, 4 through 9. Talks a little bit about this in the beginning. John says, in him was life. Who's him?
Talking about Jesus there.
In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Okay? So, you know, right here, it gives a little bit of a problem, because we read one verse, and Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world, and then it's saying here in John, Jesus is the light. Okay, most of us understand that, right? That Jesus shines through us. And we'll talk about that. And John, he understood it well, because he goes on to explain that. And he goes on to explain, how do we do that? Says we're the light, but Jesus is the light, so how do I shine that light? Verse 6, there came a man who was sent from God, his name was John, and we know him as John the Baptist, the guy that went around baptizing a whole bunch of guys. And he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, that is Jesus, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming in the world. John had it correct. He understood how we light our light, how we're the witness. Okay? I'm not the true source of light. It's Jesus. And what do? I shine that light of Jesus as a testimony, as a witness. And again, the understanding of witness is so people can see. They can see and understand and be saved. Now, as we look at this, we kind of think of ourselves as sort of this candle. Okay? And the one who lights us, this is us, we'll say, I'm a little candle here, not so big. Jesus lights us. And in the New Testament, it talks about Him lighting us through His Holy Spirit. Okay? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about the disciples there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and I will give you power, there it is up there, when I come upon you to be witnesses, okay, to testify of Jesus to these different areas, and ultimately to the end of the earth. Now, we got to talk about some light, because you know some of us are we're not even candles yet. Okay, we're not even saying, hey, don't light me, Jesus. I've heard some stuff. It sounds good. It's okay. You know, it makes me feel a little good. But don't light me. I don't want no light. And you haven't decided to believe in Christ. But at the same time, there are many of you who said, I'll believe in Christ, but you're still saying, don't light me. I don't want to have to, you know, tell somebody about Jesus, or even act like I know Jesus. Okay, we just got to be honest and upfront where you're at in that. You know, I say sometimes I waver in that. I look at my neighbor and I think about how tired I am and all the things I got to do, and I'm like, hey, what's up? Move this way. And we see this big smoke coming up. Like, Dad's like, man, somebody's got a big fire over there. Look at that. And you couldn't see really the fire, but the smoke was just blowing out. Pretty soon, my grandpa pulls up in his Ford 150, you know, and says, hey, man, your barn's on fire. We're like, what? You know, and there's 15 miles away. We could see this smoke going up. And what I want to make about that is that how far away can people see us? Are we producing any smoke? Are we producing any heat? In that fire, our house was probably from this back fence all the way over to this building, maybe in the middle of it, where you go in that middle door. We had one of those bean bags in there. That thing, like, was inside the garage. Garage door was down. That thing just melted. There was wood on our garage because it was built by my great-grandfather back in 1949 or, like, 1950. And the sap on those boards on that garage started pouring out. After, I don't know, it's been 40 years of being up there. That was the type of heat that was produced by that fire. And when that heat came out, it caused and affected the things around it. So I want to ask you, what kind of fire are you? What kind of light are you? Are you producing that heat and that smoke that we need to be producing? In a little bit, we talked a little bit about the dilution of the saltiness. Again, what's stopping you from being that big burning fire? I want to go here next. Because when we put a bowl over that, what's going to happen? There we go. These guys have studied. Praise the Lord. It's going to go out, and it's going to go out because it doesn't have enough oxygen. And that really triggers my mind, because what in our life, when we're shining our light, takes away our oxygen? I mean, I've got to admit, I'm a real people person, so when my wife isn't real people-ish, my light starts to dim. And I'm all, you know, like hugging my wife, and, you know, today I'm joking around with her. She's like, man, I just got to get ready for church. She's more tapped. So, you know, just thinking of one thing is that my light starts to dim when you know, people aren't being people. But really, should my light dim because of that? Maybe if you're a task person, you can accomplish that task on time, in this place, when, where, how you'd like to do it. So your light begins to dim, or you get to flare your light, but actually a different light of anger going out. What begins to extinguish that? Now, we talked about that the Bible is a bit clear that in witness, it talks about us being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I really want to encourage you guys, as we're studying Acts, we see in Acts over and over again, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, or we can call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because that's basically the Holy Spirit working through His apostles. To be a witness, to testify to the world of something that's happening, something good and new of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, what causes you to stop burning? This morning, and I'm going to try to do this as best as possible. Going to be a little bit hard to see, but we're going to see about extinguishing this fire, okay? Here we go. It went out. But it almost didn't. What would it help it not to go out? Because look, it almost made it. Maybe doing it again would help. Yeah, kind of like what he was saying. It already went out, though. I'm thinking a little bigger fire would help. If you take this cup and you put it in my bonfire, it's gone. You wouldn't even be able to identify the thing. I mean, that bonfire just disintegrated. We had tools in there. My dad has a bunch of tools. Once it went through that fire, those steel craftsman tools, which he actually could take back and replace. But they were worthless because they were tempered in the wrong way. And they were so brittle they would break. Let your Holy Spirit fire burn. Now, I gotta say some things about this because it's a little bit difficult. I don't understand it all, but a lot of times in the church, when somebody has the Holy Spirit burning in them, our church, Christians around them, begin to put out that Spirit fire. And it's sometimes a bit confusing. I'm not gonna say I got it all figured out because there is about orderly worship and different things in the church. But, you know, some examples I can think of is, you know, you get somebody starts to move with the music a little bit, you know, and we don't ever understand, but it's this Christian music. Then he begins to raise his hand, and so somebody comes up alongside him like, hey, what are you doing? Put your hand down. Well, everybody starts to look at him. You know, it's okay to raise your hand. Worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm thinking he's saying worship God with everything you got. You know, do it in a respectful, honorable way. But worship the Lord. You get a youth on the worship team. They make a mistake. Heaven forbid that anyone would make a mistake on the worship team in front of the Lord in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. It's not as though they were trying to make that mistake, but someone may then come and talk to them. Embarrass them, shame them, make them feel guilty. They don't quite fully understand. And so again, that Holy Spirit fire, that little bit that was burning, is put out. A person may not wear the right clothes, but they've come because they feel the movement of the Lord in their heart. Someone mentioned something to them. It's difficult as a pastor. You know, a lot of times they come up and they'll give communion and I forget to say, those have not been baptized yet, we ask that you would refrain. But actually in 1 Corinthians 11, it's not talking about that. It's actually talking about they were actually drinking wine, getting drunk before they went and took communion, too much of a little party going on. And that's what they were talking about. But even beyond that, you know, and then someone comes and takes communion that's not a believer, and then someone goes and tells them, you shouldn't take communion. And I know people have done that here, and they never showed up again. But they started coming. I would have never thought these people would ever came. They came for 4 weeks, and then they were gone. Their children still come. It's confusing. I don't have it all figured out. But we have to understand, when that Holy Spirit fire begins to burn, and I'm talking today about really burning, because otherwise it can get put out, don't let us be part of that putting it out. Let us come alongside them and talk with them. Engage them. Encourage them as needed. So that we can burn, so we can shine our light. You know, there's enough things that try to blow us out. Enough things that try to quench the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be part of that. To shine our light. You are significant. You are, and this might be kind of coined phrase, but special. In Christ, He has given you work to do, to be a light. Next week we get to talk about being a disciple maker. I wanted to talk about it today, but I just got long-winded. To be a disciple maker, that's another significant part that we have to do. So we need to get ready for that. And I'd just like to take some time and have Cliff come up and play the guitar, same as before. And let's just come before the Lord. Actually, Cliff, No, 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 stay there, don't move. You can. But at the bottom, I think, is a YouTube clip. I forgot. This was kind of a favorite song of mine. It's sang by Delirious. Actually, this group is like some group out of England. They were singing, and they were just singing the chorus. And my heart burns for you. And my heart burns for you. Jesus, and my heart burns for you. You guys see it down there? You can just push play. I think I kind of set it up somewhere. And hopefully it will go through the audio, because if it doesn't go through the audio, we can't hear the song. We'll just have you sit here in the front row with me, Cliff. If you want to close your eyes, if you just want to enjoy the song, if you want to check out this candle, however you want to go about it.
In my heart,
Father God, we want to come and burn for you again. God, we ask that you would increase our blaze, increase our heat. God, that the smoke that we give off would be a signal to others something better is going on. Something is burning. That Jesus is what we need. God, I want to pray for those who, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would intercede for those whose flame has grown dim. That the storms of life have just really taken a toll on them, Lord. God, that you would come and minister to them. for many who are leaders here. Father God, I pray that you would encourage them with your Holy Spirit. That you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, and you would help them to blaze again. That you would give them a brother or sister that could walk beside them and encourage them. Oh Jesus, let our heart burn for you again, Lord. To blaze for you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.